y'all, let's just don't be saved. Let's apply some stuff, right? And then we're studying, we're going to move into the weapons that he's given us. But tonight, I want us, we're going to be leading up to the teaching on the armor of God by the battlefields of faith. Anybody in here feel like they've been going through the battlefields of faith? Do you like to join me in that? Yes. And the thing is, if you're taking ground from the enemy, expect it. Okay? Because all he's got is the here and now. I keep telling you, I want you to get this. You are going to outlive the devil. He tries to make you think that he's going to outlive you and he's going to do stuff to you. He's a liar and he's defeated. And we're not going to get in agreement with despair. We're not going to let our emotions get away from us. Tonight, we're going to study about weaponry, and here's what he's telling us. Last week, we know that he addressed the children. So as part of your authority, when he started in with, you know, hey, little children, he was literally talking to the young children that belonged to the adults who were there in chapter 5. He's already talked to husbands. He's talked to wives. Now he's addressing children. So why is that important? Because when this letter is being read, when the letter from Paul is being read to the Ephesians, that was a church service. So the children were in church, and the parents and the children were hearing the same thing. And he's making each one accountable for his word. So tonight, what I want to talk to you is about authority and the right weapon. Yeah. Let's read our text. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now that is from the Amplified Bible, and all those little things in parentheses there are just explaining what that word means in the Greek. So the purpose in the battlefields of our faith, guys, is to prepare our hearts and our minds to wear the armor of God and to use it to its full potential. Now, in the army, when you when you sign up, anybody in here been in the military? Yeah? When you sign up, the day that you signed up with the recruiter, did they give you weapons? No. Why not? Because you weren't trained. That's right. Now, do you think the army does anything better than God? No. So we learn from these things. And so the weapons we need to learn, you're not going to learn from YouTube on how to serve God. Okay? You can't go to showmehowtoservegod.com and, you know, somebody's going to show you the right way to do it because we're different. Okay? The way that I'm going to seek God is different from you. And the way that you're going to seek God is different than me because we've been shaped by these trials and these things in our life that draw us closer to God. So there's an inner working that has to happen with the weapons. And the enemy wants to freak us out. He wants us to use our authority and to take it from us. But I want to give you some scriptures tonight because all authority comes from God. How much authority comes from God? Ooh, good job. You all can have pastry and coffee on the way out. But yes, that's right. All authority comes from God. Let me read a few scriptures to you. Ephesians 1:21. He's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. Colossians 2:10, and in him you've been made complete. Ooh, if we could just believe the word of God, because doesn't the enemy come in and tell you what you're lacking? Oh, but here we have his word. You've been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. And he's the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and earthly power. Woo! You're never out from under his authority unless you're in agreement with the enemy that there's something God can't do. So what are we going to say to the enemy tonight? No. No, we recognize our authority. Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine in the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining. Hebrews 12:2, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who is for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, he endured the cross. And the last one I have for you tonight is 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, that is the place of honor and authority, with all angels and authorities and powers being made subservient to him. Tonight, if you're taking notes, write this down. I did not slip through the crack. I did not slip through the crack. I am securely anchored in the loving authority of God. I am securely anchored in the loving authority of God, who is over all. Guys, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. That is something I've incorporated in prayer many times. Lord, let this be on earth as it is in heaven. Is there dissension in heaven? Is there? Is there sorrow in heaven? No. Is there fear in heaven? No. Is there faith in heaven? Yes. You need faith in heaven. You're going to be with him. Amen. Listen, these are things, guys, that I'm telling you. We have to stand firm now in those things and recognize, listen, if I want it on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, I may have to go through some things, but I should be able to go through them with hope and expectancy. And we're letting the enemy lie to us and tell us, oh, this is bad, you know. And he's telling our children, go ahead and kill yourself because you don't want to live in this world. Let me tell you something. This world isn't all we get. And we're going to walk in the authority of Christ. So tonight, we're going to learn about our God-given authority. It was given to Jesus, and he imparts it to us. You have these scriptures. So there's this little cutesy thing that I see on Pinterest and different things where it says, you know, it says in the Bible 365 times, do not be afraid. So that's one for every day of the year. Well, there's really not 365 definitely do not be afraid in the Bible, okay? So in the King James, New King James, it's 58 times, do not be afraid. It's 77 times in the NIV, which is the Pew Bible that we use. But I'm saying that to tell you this, that's still a lot of times to say, don't be afraid. He had to tell Abram before he was Abraham, hey, don't be afraid. He had to tell Joshua, hey, don't be afraid. He had to say to Moses, hey, don't be afraid. He had to say to David, hey, don't be afraid. He had to say to the people, to the shepherds, when he announced the good news about Jesus, hey, don't be afraid. Because the truth is, anything we don't understand, we get afraid of. So I'm thinking about authority, and this scripture says, don't provoke your children to anger. Okay? So that's a use of authority. I'm going to tell a story about myself. Well, I was probably in the seventh grade, and I had this friend, and she got in trouble all the time. Well, she had put this note in my purse, okay? Well, my mom, I didn't know my mom went through my stuff, but I had this note from this girl, okay? It was in my purse. So my mom pulls it out and reads it, and in this note, this girl is confessing something she's done. So when I get home, my mom's like, what did you do? I was like, what did I do? Well, I looked at the note, and I knew what it was. And she said, when your dad gets home, we're going over this with your dad. Well, I was humiliated because it wasn't me. But I didn't want to tell her who it was because I knew what my mom and dad were going to do. They were going to call that girl's parents. They were going to tell her. Everybody at school was going to hate me because I was a fink. And so I just said, well, it's my note. You wrote this. Yes, it's my note. Well, the funny thing was, you know, she was all mad about everything, and she should have been, because this girl had done some stuff. So anyway, so yeah. So here's what I did. You know, I love the Lord, right? So I'm reading scripture, and I think it was maybe 13 or 14. I don't remember if I was, I don't think I was driving yet, and I got my license at 14. So I read this scripture, and it was like, hey, don't provoke me to wrath. Yeah. And I took that scripture, and here's what I did. This is horrible. Please, no children in here ever do what I'm fixing to say. So I started writing these little notes, and I was like, hey, you thought you got something on me, didn't you? And I'd stick it, like, down where she thought it was my note. Like, I'd put it by the couch like I dropped it, you know? And then I would leave these little notes in my purses that I didn't carry over, and I'd go, hey, you know, didn't catch anything this time, did you? Better luck next time. Just, how horrible was that? Using the word against my mother. Yes. So, but I would always know when she found one, because when I'd go in, she'd be like glaring at me. You know? Oh, and I just felt so confident about everything. And yeah. So one day I worked at my dad's store after school. So I went in and he said, now listen, I know what you're doing to your mother. You didn't want to mess with him. I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, you need to cut it out. I was like, yes, sir. He goes, you've really hurt her feelings. I was like, yes, sir. And then he just died laughing. And he's like, that was so funny. He goes, I bet she went a week before she finally told me what you were doing. And she told me to get on you. So when you get home, you act like you're really upset. And I was like, yes, sir. And he goes, now I mean it. I was like, oh, yes, sir, you know. But he said, stop it. And I did, because I respected his authority. I was wrong. But the point I want you to see is we can take something and we can turn it where it's even in the Bible and do damage. So what is anger? What would cause anger? Well, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. You know, like when you're driving, need I say more? When you're driving and somebody's just determined to go 5 miles under the speed limit and these cars are in the lane and you can't get around who it is, so you're just stuck there. Yeah, and late. And it just frustrates you, right? So you're either going to turn on praise music and just say, God, you're saving me from a wreck or something, or you're just going to, you know, ride their bumper and give them dirty looks, you know, whatever we do. But it's a form of anger, and we know why it's there. So at its root, anger includes fear. It can include pain or a combination or just frustration, right? So with children, I think a lot of the times why they get provoked to anger is not necessarily how we're using our authority, but that they just didn't get their way, right? Just frustrated. It could even be that, you know, they're just mad they got caught, you know. The note I didn't write, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, I was such a martyr. Oh, God, you know, I was just protecting her and, you know, whatever. Well, you know, you can't take on another man's sin without paying the consequence for that. So anger can be constructive or destructive. We've kind of touched on that. And it goes both ways in authority. It can be difficult to tell anger from fear. Does everybody know who Savannah Chapel is? Raise your hand if you know who Savannah is. Okay. Savannah has, this is Leslie's youngest child. Savannah has this thing, when she comes up, her grandmother drops her off after school, she has this thing where she'll come through the hallway and she'll hide and she'll scare you. You know? And it's funny to watch people's reactions. Why is that funny? And, you know, she scared me before. You know, like, ah! You know, so that's what I'm saying. It's hard to tell sometimes if it's fear or anger. Some people go, oh, I can't believe you scared me. Do you see what I'm saying? You get this quick reaction from it, and you don't really know where it's coming from. But God can help us overcome all these emotions that lead to anger. And so now that we know kind of what anger is, so many of us, we come in and we have an authority. So now that we know follow me? Now that we know that we have this authority, but whether it's children, whether it's your employees, whether it's even in a spouse relationship, or it could be with a friend, sometimes you have to use the authority of God to say no, right? Sometimes you have to use the authority of God to say yes. Yes, we will do this, or no, we won't. But we need to be cognizant that if people are walking in fear, that it can produce anger in them. And you also have to remember, how old is that person, right? Because I've seen, and listen, before I start talking about this, let me just be clear. Every one of us have done authority wrong. Okay? Every one of us have handled our authority wrong at one point or another. So when I start talking about this, don't go, I'm a terrible parent. No, no, no. We're all learning. But when we love the Lord, I believe this. And I even see it now. My kids are at the age where they're telling me this. Mom, I saw how you handle things when you did it wrong. It gives people hope. It lets them know that I can listen to the Lord and rectify these things, because if I make everything like I'm perfect, which I never want to do, then what hope is there for, right? Then we all feel like, oh, I have to be perfect because, you know, look at her. No, don't look at me. My feet are made of clay, and I will fall if you put me on a pedestal. Now, I'm short. I wouldn't have far to fall, but it still wouldn't be pretty. I just want to go on record as saying that. Okay, so I wanted to share that because here's the thing. I need to think about how old they are. I've watched a lot of parents. You know, we're tall, the little ones. And I've watched a lot of parents, and I call it domination. They, like, here's the child. And they get right in their face with this growl like some angry lion or dog, and they're like, and you can just see fear all over them. Well, if that place brings a place where you've lost trust, it can cause anger later. Why did they? You know, and I was always thinking, you know, how did this affect their spirit? Stay with me, because we're adults. Isn't there a place in you and me where somebody can do something to us, and instead of helping us, if they come at us with anger and domination, it can make you go the other way? Instead of wanting correction, you just want to rebel? Yeah, I had to write a biography recently. And so one of the things it says that you should do now is just admit, you know, go ahead and tell what your weaknesses are. So I did confess this to a policeman who does traffic. But I like to go 2 miles over the speed limit. Now I'm just going to tell, except school zones, because I know they'll get you. But if it's 30, I'm going 32 or 33, okay? That, Jesus help me, y'all pray for me. Yeah. It, and then if I get out on the highway and it's 65, I'm going to go 5 miles over. I'm just, sometimes I go 7, but that's the truth. Okay, and the other thing that my husband said he didn't even know about me was, and if I've ridden in your car, now you're going to laugh because I'm always the one with the seatbelt dinging. I'll be like, oh, it's me. It's because I resent a seatbelt telling me when it's time to put on my seatbelt. I'm going to tell you when it's time to put on my seatbelt. I don't know why that bugs me, but it does, because, you know, you'll put it in reverse and you'll be like 3 feet out. Ding, ding, ding. I go, I was going to do that. Don't tell me. So I'll just make it wait till I get to the end of the curb and go, I'll show you. Right? So there's just things in us that, you know, we just have that natural thing. Now think about it. If I'm supposed to be mature, you know that's in everybody. It's our human nature. So I got to think about, how old is this person I'm dealing with and how much can they handle? Right? Because I want to bring truth and correction, but I don't want to injure their spirits. When Jesus corrects you, does he injure your spirit? Do you always feel good about getting corrected? Oh, you're so honest. No, we do not. We don't always feel good about that. But we need it. Guys, there's never going to be a time in your life where we're not going to need correction, because we're still growing into his image. And that's not a bad thing, because the word tells us those he loves, he corrects. But he doesn't correct with domination. That's the devil. I've done this before in a sermon, but this is so much of how I see things sometimes. I always see like I'm wearing a tool belt. You know, you put on the belt, you know, you got on the belt, and we're going to study that in the armor. But I always see that tool belt, and I'm always thinking, when I go to the toolbox, which toolbox am I getting out of the tool that I'm going to use for what I'm about to do? Am I getting it from God's toolbox, or am I getting it from the enemy's toolbox? Because one's going to bring life, and one's going to bring death. And he wants us to have life and life abundant right now. Does that mean that we're never going to suffer? No. Does that mean that we're never going to hurt? No. Does that mean that you're never going to be hurt by a Christian? No. We're human. But the point is, when we walk under his authority, and I go back to say, Lord, here this is. He's either going to show you what you need to do in adjusting, right? Or he's just going to say, hey, I got this. Let me handle it. But while we're doing this, we're learning about our weaponry. I'm learning about what he's given me and how to use it. Because, man, I want to tell you, it trickles down. You tell the kids, this is how we're going to do it. So I go in, and here's Charity, who's almost 4 years older than Leah, and she goes in, and something happens. She goes, I told you not to do that. And she'll get all caught. And I'm like, I don't do that. So I'll just watch her, though. But she wants to assert authority because she's seen me. How many, just think about your kids when one tries to assert authority over another one, right? Because they see you do it. Well, here's the thing. They're learning that, but there's something in human nature where we just want to take it a little bit further. So I have to teach them that I should be more concerned about you and your growth than the fact that I'm right. And here's a blunder that lots of us have made as parents. Has your kid ever done anything and so humiliated you, you just went off in anger yourself because you felt like it was a reflection on you? Man, I can't tell you the times, you know, when something would happen and I would just think, you swallow that. Don't let it come out of your mouth. This is not about you. This is about them. This is a lesson. But man, every time there was a cheat or a steal or something going on, I didn't want to address it with my kids because I thought it was going to make me look bad. I remember we lived in Manhattan Beach one time and we were at the checkout line and I wasn't watching. But Leah just grabbed a pack of gum, you know, because they leave it right there to tempt them. Like, really? But anyway, so she grabbed the pack of gum, and we're leaving, and I see her with this gum. And she's got it in her mouth with the wrapper on it, just going to town. I was like, where did you get that? I said, you stole it. No, I found it. I was like, no, you stole it. Well, I'm in a hurry. I don't have the money, okay? I was like, because I'd already written a check. Yes, we wrote checks back then. And so I get up and I said, well, come on. So I drag all three kids. We go, I need to see your manager. Well, he's busy. I need to see the manager now. So the manager comes out. He's put out. I said, this is my daughter. She took a pack of gum, and I want her to tell you she's sorry, and we're going to pay for it. Well, he just lit into her and just got over her and was growling, and I just kind of got between him and her, and I said, sir, we said we're sorry. It wasn't a refrigerator. It was a pack of gum. I'm trying to teach my daughter a lesson, and I'd like for you to help me with that. And he went, if you knew how many thousands of dollars go out from, I said, and I believe you, but this is how we deter that from happening again. And he was like, you could just see he was just having to take a breath to do it. It was humiliating to me. But there's a point, stay with me, where authority is teaching a lesson or pushing to rebellion. And that's when anger comes in. And anger is not going to be in God's tool belt. Well, Gay, the Bible says be angry, but don't sin. Stay with me. You got it. Anger comes up for us to face our fears, to face our hurts, face our disappointments, and to know who to give it to. It's there for a reason. So we know how to deal with it, who to give it to, because clearly we can't handle it. And can we be more honest? How many of you have gone to the Lord over and over and over? Please take this from me, please. Yeah, it's a good thing there's not cameras in here. Please take this from me, Lord. And then you just, why can I not get rid of this? Guys, it's because there's still something in us. There's an entitlement in us that we're owed something. And we've got to remember that Jesus suffered on this earth. I'm going to suffer. The authority that I have will cause me to suffer. But the suffering is going to lead me closer to the Lord and further away from me trying to fix it. Because when I come to the end of me, guess who's there? Right? Just wish I could learn to do that quicker. So that's my confession. So we know now what anger is. We know what the word is. And I shared with you, I can use the word as a surgical tool to go in and look, you know, honey, the Bible says don't steal. And there's a reason. Because when you take something from somebody else, you open yourself up for the enemy to come in and do things to you. We don't want to walk that way, right? Or I can use it as a bludgeoning tool. Oh, the word of God says, and because he said it, you're going to burn in hell forever. Because that's probably how a 4 or 5-year-old heard that. So we have to be careful. And here's a little rule of thumb, guys, for authority. If you're in authority over someone, God's going to hold you to the higher standard. But with children, I kind of used like the size of their shoulders. Today I got to go see little Teddy Kay, and she weighed 6.5 pounds. And I bet her little shoulders weren't any wider than that. So that's about all she could handle is something that was about 7 to 8 inches across. And I remember when I first got this revelation, I had a young girl who was 16 in my office, and she's just a skinny little thing. And she was crying, and her mom was an alcoholic, and she was sharing about how embarrassed she was and, you know, how that her mom would give her things and then later make her feel guilty or obligated because of what she'd given her. And talk about how bad their money problems were, but she would feel bad for drinking, and then she'd go buy something extravagant, and then later, I gave you this, you owe me something. And I could see it, and as she was talking, I kept seeing her shoulders, and I heard the Lord say, she can't shoulder that load physically. How could she shoulder it emotionally? And so I have to remember, how old is somebody? And not just how old are they in years, but how old are they in the spirit? Because there's days I'm a teenager. I am not putting that seatbelt on until I get to the corner because you are not going to tell me how to do this. I'm just a teenager. There are days when I'm a baby. Really? I'm like 4 years old. God, that was mine, and you made me give it to them, and I just wanted that, and it was precious between us. It was mine. And they took it, and they tore up what I gave. Yeah, I'm 4 in the spirit. So I got to know, where am I in the spirit with my authority, right? And where is the person I'm supposed to be helping? Because, guys, hurting people can't take the whole thing because the wound's open. So what am I transferring? That's another question to ask yourself. You're not always going to get it right. So I always want to go in the side of mercy and grace. I want people to get it, but I want to walk in mercy and grace. Couple of reasons. Number one, how you sow it, you're going to reap it. I'm selfish. I don't want to be sowing something I'm going to have to reap. All right? The second thing that I think we need to consider in this, where it's mercy and grace, is you can always go back and give a little more. But do you know that you can put a fire out by putting too much fuel on it? You got a little piece of paper, and you put 4 big logs on it, you're going to put the flame out. Right. Even though that's a, man, that's an energy source. I got to know what I'm dealing with. But here's the beauty in this. The Holy Spirit will help you. Now, be honest. Aren't there times when you're going at it with something and all of a sudden you know, pull back, right? And you're just, your faces are priceless. But here's the thing. That's because the Spirit lives in us. But guys, He doesn't come down on us for it. We can redeem even those times when we get it wrong by going back and being proud to humble ourselves and say, hey, I got it wrong. I don't know what else to say. But that's going to leave other people the opportunity to get whole in a place of mercy and grace. And again, if I didn't do it hard line enough with my kids the first time, believe me, God will give me the opportunity to go back or even come back and revisit it. I've done it both ways. There's times I had to go in and say, I just want you to know, yesterday I was mad and I put my anger on you and I'm sorry. Because it was my bad day. And that, because we know, and we have discussed this, Steve will verify I'm telling you the truth. We have discussed this in our home. Because we know that we love each other, somebody you feel comfortable and safe with, that's the one you're going to dump on. Because you feel comfortable and safe. Doesn't make it right, but praise God for safe places, amen? Where you don't have to worry about somebody's going to hate you for it later. Right? That's a gift. That's a blessing. So we come into that. And I'm sharing this with you because there are times, and no matter how much you prayed, no matter how much you've trembled, no matter how much you want to do it right, no matter how much you have like, God, I'm not going to blow it. I'm going to do this the right way. You can still make people mad. Okay? Why? Because you may be touching a hurt you didn't know they had. Because they're fearful. Because they're frustrated. Maybe somebody already feels bad about who they are. And when you point something out, it just sends them over the edge. And they're like, why can't I get it? Right? I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying let's recognize that we're all human. And let's just begin to love each other and find the place of God in it. So, the question is, if you apologize to someone and they're still angry, then you're all thinking, well, now how can I use this weapon of authority if you're telling me people will still be mad? Because here's the truth about it. You got to pray, and there's times to let God handle it. There's times where God will say, give them some space, give them some distance. Doesn't mean you're not going to deal with things. It just means you've got to listen to the Spirit. Okay? Here's the difference. Charity, here's how it is. You had to be clear. You had to use big words. And you had to have a firm sounding, I'm serious. Okay? This is how it is. Now, I didn't believe in yelling because I felt it was a domineering tactic. But I've had to do it a couple times if they're not going to listen. Because then they'll listen. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Save the big gun for when you need it. Don't pull out the big gun all the time. But if I went into Leah, I said, now, Leah, you yelled at me. And he'd be like, honey, I'm not. Yes, you did. You said me nice. You had me nice at me. Well, I probably did, Leah, you know. And Jake would always be, don't say Jacob Stephen. Don't say Jacob Stephen. Right? Because, you know, they all know, right? So you had to find out what, and don't push their button just because you know you can. Right? Now, that's not just for children, but in authority, that's with a spouse. That's with an employee. Don't make somebody look bad just because you know where their weakness is and you need to feel good about you. Because praise God. Lord, He covers my multitude of sin. And I'm so grateful for it. So, we know what anger is. You need to know your weapon to respect what you have to fight with. And there's four little things I want to go over real quick. Because, guys, we're still in need of a father. I still need a father. I still need somebody to go to and say, would you just hold my hand? Wouldn't it be comforting? In this world, God help us to have parents who will comfort as well as correct. And man, there's just times where I just need him to hold my hand. I shared this at ladies' retreat, but I'm unashamed to say it to all of you. You know, there's sometimes when, you know, you just feel alone. You just feel isolated. You feel like nobody's getting you. Nobody cares. You know, the devil. I know. I listen to him. Okay, so look at me. But I'm in there, and there's times where I just was like, God, I just need something. I need something. I need physically something. Could you just hold me? And I just remember he said, I'm in you. And I was like, you are. And I just reached over and held my own hand. And I cried and I cried. And I just felt like I had a daddy holding my hand because his spirit lives in me. And there was something so beautiful and so simple about it. Now, I don't have to do it all the time like I used to. But there are times where I still need that. You're always going to need that touch. So Hebrews 4:16 said, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, the frustrating thing was we had the rule in our house, if you tell the truth, you're not going to get in trouble. And by get in trouble, we meant you're not going to get a spanking, you're not going to get a yelling out. We'll have to make it right. I broke the neighbor's window. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to beat him. I'm not going to, but we have to go over there, and I got to get over me, and let's get this right. So we go over to do it. So I still have to know that I can come to him, Daddy God, with confidence. God, here's what I did. I recognize that I have lied to myself. I recognize there was a place where I wanted to manipulate this situation. I was not trusting you. I felt I needed to control it. God, forgive me. God, help me. Same way, I want a child to come to me. And I don't remember what it was that happened, but one of the kids came to Steve to confess something, and he went, and about the third breath, he said, it's a good thing we said we wouldn't get mad when you told us the truth. And you know, you just have to, but you got to stick faithful with what you say, because they felt safe then to tell us, and it saved them and us so much. And we learned to have that confidence because there was mercy and grace, not dealing with it. We dealt with it, but we dealt with it the same way. I want God to deal with me. Okay. So here's four things. When you have a weapon, and when Tiffany was going through police training, I'd go over and she'd have these different kinds of guns just broken apart into pieces. Because what they tell them is you have to know the parts and how each part works together for how it needs to be put together. Well, I don't think anybody's ever going to have a gun unassembled that they're going to hand you in a bag as you get ready to get in your police car. But the point of it is, guys, I need to know what works with what. I need to know what scripture is going to work with this scripture to aim and get the proper aim at what I really want to do, and not just go around and take the word and pop off, because if your weapon isn't in order, it can backfire on you. So I need to know that about my weapon, how that works. How does God's word work? It only works through the ways that he works. He does not work in rejection. He does not work in bitterness. You with me? Okay, second thing. I need to look at kingdom, the kingdom things. How's the ways that it can serve us offensive and defensive? Because I've seen movies, you know, these war movies, and they're based on true stories. And, you know, when they were out of ammunition or something, they would take that thing and just use it. You know, once, if they couldn't defend themselves in the foxholes anymore, if they were out, they would go on the offense when they would come and just use these things like, you know, big old clubs or whatever. And there's a time where the weapon that they used was even used to dig them out of some places. It had more than one use because it provided something else that they needed. And certainly, in many times, it was used for hunting and to provide food for some of the battles and the wars that were fought. So I got to be a kingdom thinker. How does this affect? How's this weapon going to affect everybody? Because if you're fearful, they call it friendly fire, but somebody can be killed. So I got to know how to use the authority, the weapon he's given us. And cleaning, that's so important. Just very quickly, because there's a residue from an old use that can cause that weapon to misfire. You with me? Yeah. And sometimes it's not even a residue from an old use. It could be from no use. So it has to be well lubricated so that the things work well and they're not dried out, right? So authority, I want to keep my heart clean of old residue and be sure that I'm using the things that he's given me. And the fourth thing is, once I've done those things, once I've learned to trust God's word and seen it when I get it wrong, even in authority, even trying to do the right thing, even if I do it completely wrong, he still comes back in and helps me to get back on the right track. And he says beauty can come from that. That good can come from other people seeing that I make mistakes and how to get back on track. I love that. Because he's taking care of everything. And the respect I have then, which is the fourth thing, is I learn to respect that weapon so much that I don't take it for granted. That I don't leave it out in the rain. That I don't leave it, you know, outside of the battle and think, well, I'll leave it in the tent. I might not need it today in war terms of authority. I keep that thing with me because I respect what it can do and what it can provide for me. So we can look at our humanness, but how do I want to lead? John 14:27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. It's peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't get caught up in that anger, right? Here's what's so beautiful. To do the best I can for me, these are things that help me. I have to keep saying, does this have an eternal value or is this a preference? When the girls wanted to wear weird stuff, does this have eternal value or is this a preference? Because it's got to have eternal value. Now, if I let them do it and there was an attitude that came with it, that's eternal. You lose your privilege because now you think you're better than everybody, right? So, second thing is, I have to recognize my Father's watching me. Guys, I am very aware that I'm answering to God. I'm very aware of that. And so I go in situations, and if I haven't had time to consult them because things are going to affront, you know, you're going to be accosted by them, I have to be aware later, God, I get it. I just popped off. I did whatever. I need to take you with me. Respect the weapon because it can save your life. And I can't lose if I'm surrendered to him. That doesn't mean that people don't get to mock me. That doesn't mean that people don't get to make me feel bad about myself. That doesn't mean that I don't hurt. But what that means is I can be confident when I am surrendered to God that there is no weapon that's formed against me that's going to prosper. And I will learn obedience through the things I suffer. And I may need to be knocked down a notch or two. But I want it to be the Spirit of God and not somebody that's using a weapon to hurt me. Here's the beauty. Here is the beauty. I can't lose if I'm surrendered to God because he will touch me and heal me. And because he does that, I have undeniable God experiences. And you share those testimonies too, that in all things, God is going to get the glory. I may not see it today, and I may not see it tomorrow, but I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, woo, I am going to, God, to your glory, not to me. Very quickly, I want to share with you. It's out of 1 Kings 19. This was the most amazing man, Elijah. So many incredible things he had done. So many things he got right. And he's just gone in, and all these false prophets have been killed, and he leaves, and I'm just going to read to you. Now, when Ahab, the king, got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, how God showed up. Isn't it funny how people want to blame you when God does something right through you? If they're not for God, they're going to blame you, including the way he killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I've not killed you just as you killed them. And Elijah was afraid. God, am I afraid to face things? And Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. And so he goes in, guys. Most of you know the story. Give you the quick cliff notes. He goes in. He's like depressed. He wants to die. He tells God, just kill me. I'm done. Look what I did. There's nobody else. You ever say that? Yeah. But God's always going to have a people. So the angel comes and ministers to him and says, just rest. Provides a little cake and some water for him. Says, strengthen yourself. Goes back to sleep. Says, come on back. Here's a little more. And a hot cake at that. Like, that's pretty special. Like, wouldn't you? And here's how we look. Well, why didn't he see that was the hand of God? How many times has God provided for me and I didn't even see it was his hand? Because I was so busy with my nose in my own face feeling sorry for me. Right? That's just an admission. Y'all don't have to take it. I'll tell you. So he comes in and the Lord speaks to him and he finally takes him and he says, get ready because you're going to have a 40-day journey. That, you know, about 40? 40 years rain for 40 days and 40. That 40 is something that's in rebellion, needs to be worked out. So, man, doesn't God owe him? Look at what he did. Really? Really? Wouldn't that be something the devil would put in your mind, that God owes you something? Oh, guys, we gotta stop that kind of, that is toxic. But he believes this. And so God comes in and he takes him on this 40-day journey up to the mountain. He sees a whirlwind. God's not there. He sees a fire. God's not there. The earth shakes. God's not there. But he hears a gentle whisper. That word for whisper can just mean a little stretch of silence. Like this. But all the noise had stopped. And God spoke to him. And he said, there's other people. There's 7,000 more that I've got. Elijah, you just don't know everything. Gay Van Zandt, you just don't know everything. But I've got the troops aligned, and I'm coming, and you're not alone. Oh, oof. How many times do I have to say this? We should have T-shirts made. If I could just get over me to get to Jesus. Yes. So he goes in and he tells him that and he says, and by the way, you're going to go anoint Elisha. And the way you can remember who came first is alphabetical order. Elijah came first and Elisha came second. So he goes in and he goes out in this field and here's just this guy just working in a field and he takes his cloak off and he puts it on him because that's what the anointing represents. It's a cloak. And when Elijah came out of that cave, after all that stuff had happened and he heard the whisper, the word says he put the cloak over his face because he knew God was going to speak. Because God puts his anointing on you before he speaks, or we could not bear up under the pureness of the word. Isn't he good? So he puts it on him, and Elisha's like, he's like, well, let me go and, you know, say goodbye to my parents. He's going, do what you want, but don't forget what I said. And then he spends the next years, Elisha does, watching Elijah. Because once Elijah said, I'm done, don't want to do this anymore, God heard him and brought him a helper to train, and he released him. I think he's still walking the earth today, but that's just me. But anyway, so he brought him help. He had the authority. He used the authority properly. He saw a victory, and then he got it wrong. is that like a club we should start? Right? The human club? But here's the beauty. God did not reject Elijah. God did not call him out in front of people and humiliate him. God did not say, I'm done with you. He brought him help. God did not say, oh, you know, here you are. You're just wicked. You know what he said? You need some rest. You need to eat right. And you need to get a word from me. So don't freak out. Seek out. But remember this. Guys, when you're all, oh, I don't see an answer. I don't see an answer. It took Jesus 3 days to come out of the grave. Give it 3 days before you go into action with your weapon. If you don't have peace, that scripture we read out of Hebrews says that we're going to be led by peace. Or excuse me, John 14:27. And that's how I want to lead. I want to lead holding on to his hand. Because if I'm holding his hand, you can trust me with your heart. Isn't that a good place to be? Listen, I want you to stand with me, and I just want to pray this prayer over you tonight. Are we always going to get everything right? Is that an excuse not to try? What? No. But here's the good news. Sometimes other people need to see us in human form so that they'll know to go to Jesus instead of us. And I want to tell you something. This world, the church set ourselves up over this world that we had all the answers. And people believed that a church and that priests or people could solve everything, and we can't. But together we can, because we are the church. And now the Lord has let people see insecurities and weaknesses so we can realign and refocus back on him. Because when our eyes are on him, we're going to be okay. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be hurt. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have to, you know, suffer some. Because we're going to suffer for his name's sake. But what it means is, I'm going to stand in front of him. He's going to go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, because he knows our struggle. Father, tonight, I'm just praying for each one in this room, Lord. I don't know who's struggling and who's not, but God, I know this, at one point or another, we're all going to. So I'm asking, Lord, that this word would go deep so that when we learn about the armor, we are secure in how to use it and not just hear about it and claim it, but we can understand, Lord, the authority that comes with it, that there's a responsibility in how to use that weaponry. God, tonight, the weapons of our warfare, they aren't carnal, God, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. God, I don't see a human's face with anger and rage, but I do see the enemy, and I'm so sick of him. And I'm asking you, God, to come in on behalf of your servants, Lord, and remove the toxicity of the enemy's snake bite, God, off your people. God, help us not to look more to the news of the world for where to have hope, but to look to you, God, that though we suffer, God, in this world, you will take care of us, God. You are taking care of my kids better than I could, God. You're taking care of my friends better than I could. You're taking care of this church better than I could. God, you're in full control. Deliver me from evil. Tonight, Lord, hold our hands, and let peace reign. God, right now, I come against every false responsibility that we need to be in torment to prove something. No, no, no. God, peace. Let peace reign. I speak back life over those hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Those heart palpitations are going to stop in the name of Jesus. Your heart is going to beat right as it should. In the name of Jesus, we speak over blood pressure. We speak right now, Father God, over all levels in the body that are affected by anger, God. Forgive us, Lord, that science has had to prove what you've already told us. Lord, we stay in agreement with you, God. And forgive me, God, for these pockets of rebellion where I think that I can fix things. Let me hear you so that we can all walk hand in hand with you and hand in hand with one another. Because that's how the world's going to know. Oh, God, help us. Help us as parents. Help us as grandparents. Help us as employers. Help us as teachers. Help us as spouses, God. Help us as friends to love and believe for our friends. And we thank you for that, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, man, by the time we get ready for the armor of God, y'all are going to know how to polish it, clean it, and what to do with it, right? Amen. So next week, we're going to have part 3 to the battlefields of faith, and that's going to be the right motive, how to be on target, and we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. We're going to get there. Win these battles. Amen? My notes. I'll give you the scripture references.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. This I would have to make a copy of.
Okay.
Let me run and I'll make copies for you real quick. I hope you can read.